the highest realm. He that rules over all is the one that's from the most high realm. Are you getting my point? He that is from above is above all. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if you are going to do your business and it will dominate, now you must understand. He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. He said, have dominion. There's a step-by-step thing inside there. All right? It's a word of God. Now, if you are going to fulfill that commandment of God, so that you get into the fruitful level, all right, and the multiply level, the filling the earth level, so that you will have dominion, you must be careful to use divine principles. Anything people practice, be careful. You check whether it is scriptural or it is not. Let me give you a very good example. Most businesses are done for making money. But God said a good name is better than money. So a Christian business should be first of all about making a good name. So that when you lose money and you get a good name, it is better than if you make money and you lose your name. There are people who, you've encountered it. You do business with somebody. You finish. I remember once, somebody said something to me. Okay, who helped you do this? Let me just color it like that, because I don't want it to be too direct. I said, it's so pressing. Are you planning to get him to help you do that stuff? He said, yes, sir. I said, don't try it. You're on your own. We had an encounter, like a business transaction. And when I finished, I said, this fellow is dishonest. That was the conclusion. He didn't steal my money. Yet my conclusion was simple. Even though he didn't steal my money, that this fellow is dishonest. I said, I don't trust him. That he always brings surprises as you are going along in business. Let's make a long story short. He made his money because I paid him every dime. He made sure he was protected on every side. He couldn't lose. And I paid him every dime. By the time I turned my back, I said, that fellow, I will never do business with him again. Listen, whatever you do in life, especially as a businessman, one thing you must never compromise is your good name. Is your good name. Just by the way, I know it's helping some people. Assuming you were defrauded, you know what I mean, defrauded. Like, assuming you're a reseller. You bought this microphone, and you sold it to Kingdom World Ministries. Just for the record, this mic we are using is very good. What did I say? Yes, we paid top dollar for it. Literally, we bought it in US dollars so as to save money. That's how expensive it is if we had to buy it locally. We bought it from abroad. Good money. Assuming that you bought it locally, and I look at it, I'm buying from you, and I say, this is a good mic. But, you know, our Chinko brethren, maybe some of our Chinese brethren has made a perfect copy. And they, you know, they can do some things that are good. So they sold it to you. You thought you were selling the fake, the genuine. I bought from you thinking that you knew what you were doing. Then let us assume along the way you found out that it's not genuine. You've sold it, I've paid you. It's going to break down on me one day. And you know I'm going to remember that I bought it from you. You know that. What should you do? When you find out, you owe me a duty to call me and say, sir, how's your mic doing? I said, it's doing fantastically, no problems. I said, sir, but there's a problem. What happened? I just found out that my suppliers are not genuine. Then, listen, you will negotiate with me. If I'm a hard man, I say, what do you mean? I don't care. Some people, that's what they are afraid of. Still go and say, sir, we'll try and get the genuine one. But please, you know, give us some extra money. Are you getting my point? Let me summarize. You negotiate. But don't ever say, I don't sell that one. You know why? You've gotten your money, but the Bible says that for you, a good name is more important. You have not made a good name. I like what Henry Ford said. He said, any man can make money. You can go out of the out every day, do your business, and make money. He said, but in that process, if you don't get goodwill, you have not profited much. That's Henry Ford, who at the time was one of the richest men in the world, if not the very richest at that time. I mean, an example. Those are heavenly principles. Then sometimes it costs you money. Yes, that's what the Bible says. Who wants to ascend into God's throne and God's hill is he that swears to his own heart and does not change. You get these things in your mind, listen, it will be rough at the time. But we're not trying to make money. We are trying to do what? Make a good name. Once we get that good name, you know, money will be pursuing you like this. I'm telling you, blessings will be pursuing you up and down. A good name. That's what Christians go for. Should Christians fast? Let's get back to that. I said we should open somebody. Have I mentioned where? Book of Acts chapter 13. The book of Acts chapter 13. You'll see something there that that an example of Christians fasting. The one, this is what the Bible talked about. What am I preaching? I'm preaching that hunger does not increase the potency of your prayer. This is what Christians, number one, habitual righteousness, obeying the principles of God in everything that you do, is a fast of God in that area. My husband and I were always quarreling. My wife and I were always quarreling. Now I go to the woman's house. What are you doing? I'm praying. You offer, you like a drink? No. Why? I'm fasting. What is the fast about? This quarrel in this house must stop. Then the woman turns to the husband. I'm fasting right now because of you. The quarrel in this house must come to an end. Don't disturb me, oh, I'm fasting. The third day, I'm fasting to solve the problems in this house. That problem will never go away. What did I say? It will never go away. But can the same woman fast to solve the problem in that house? Yes. In a particular way. And that's what I want to talk about. You read from Acts chapter 13. This is it was an account of the church fasting. I'm not going to discuss this one in detail. I just want to explain a principle here. Now, there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets, teachers. There was there prophets and teachers. And their names were listed. He said in verse 8, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Let me stop here because they use the word fasted and prayed. Two things you find there. One, they were not just fasting, they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. You find out that their own fasting was part of a whole process of prayer and ministering to the Lord. If we look at this, we can easily surmise that this was a one-day experience. It may have been more than one day, I don't know, but just looking at it on the surface, I will say it just happened in one day. But what I want to emphasize is the circumstance under which they were fasting. You see what they were doing? The Bible said they were ministering to the Lord. How were they ministering to the Lord? Details was not given to us. But I listened to Kenneth Hagin describe ministering to the Lord. I have a series of messages on that. He described praising God, worshiping God. I also believe, from my experience in Christianity, that it goes beyond that. It has to do with interacting also with the Word of God. It has to, that is, it's not just to stay there and be talking alone. I believe that periodically somebody will come and exalt. You understand? That he will exhort the people with the Word of God. He will teach short and then they will pray. And they will give God thanks. Stuff like that was going on. Now, they were ministering to God and fasting. What does fasting mean in this context? In this context, it simply means they were going on without interruption to eat. I hope you get what I'm saying. I like the way somebody explained it. I think it was Kenneth Hagin or somebody else. I can't remember. He said, well, this was what he said simply. That let's assume we come here for a meeting. We start by 8 o'clock. We're supposed to take a break at 9 and take our breakfast. I assume we camped overnight. We started the meeting around 7. But the presence of God, what we're doing, was so strong. At 9 o'clock, we said, please don't interrupt. In fact, something happened like this. Let me just give you. I don't know what I've told this story before, but the exact opposite. That is, you know, sometimes when you explain what black means, people will now be able to appreciate white. Are you getting what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Like, if you discuss what heaven is like, you will know what hell is like. And if you talk about hell, you should know what heaven is like just by knowing the opposite. So I want to talk about the opposite of fasting. Now, notice this. I go for this program every year, my alumni convention. So one particular convention, we hired somebody, well, we used to do that, hire people to cook. And there are plenty of us. We had scores of us there, a lot of people. So somebody will come and serve. So one of the, that particular convention, somebody we invited, who contracted out to serve us food. And our convention was funny. It was a gathering of believers. It's always a gathering of believers. And different things happen. You know, we interact. We go for prayer sessions. We go for seminars. Somebody teaches. We go out to play. We chat with each other. That's where I met my wife, you know. And so things like that happen there a lot also. Amen? That's where I met my wife, you know, stuff like that. So the pattern, you may draw a program, but it's often broken. So we're supposed to eat maybe around 7 or so, or 8. So the fellow came with food, or pounded yam, I remember. Pounded yam. You know what they call pounded yam? In Nigeria today, there are few things heavier than pounded yam. So the person, I saw whispering going on. I was supposed to preach that evening. Somebody whispering was going on at the back. What's going on? So I said that the person who was supposed to serve the food said that they have to close and all of that. So meanwhile, people were praising God, and I had a hot word from heaven. Amen? I can't remember the word, but it was hot. So the nurse said, so the organizers for that convention, that's the leaders talked to this. I said, okay, hey, let's take a break and go and eat. So we took the break, went to go and eat pounded yam, and the anointing disappeared permanently for the rest of the evening. But that we finished eating pounded yam, they now came back. And let's welcome our brother, Pastor Banky. I said, me. I got the microphone. As all of you have gone to use pounded yam to cool down the... you know me, I did it frank. I said, the first thing I will do is to take off your pounded yam. Everybody rise to your feet. I forgot what I said. Speak to your stomach. Pounded yam, you shall not disturb me. I did all kinds of gymnastics. I struggled to preach because we interrupted ministering to the Lord to go and fast. I hope you get what I'm saying. The following year, the same thing happened again. That devil said, I know where to get these people. It's through their stomach. This time around, I remember our president there, Brother Philip. We conducted out the food again. Then this particular night, whispering started again. Again, the person was serving the food. That one, Brother Philip just went. He went up and down, went up and down. You know, it's a crowd. You know, different people came from different places. You know what they would do? Just come, just check. Once you check in, that's all. Once you are a member, you arrive, we'll give you a room, give you somewhere to stay. You eat free throughout. So it's a lot of people you are taking care of. He just came back. No, he just called the people and said, look, tell the woman to drop the plates, drop the coolers, go away. We'll find a way to save ourselves. Okay, so that's what they did. So we left the food out there. And we ministered to the Lord and fasted until like 1 a.m. Are you getting my point? When we had finished everything we had to do, they said, okay, they brought food that time. Where is it? That convention was exciting. You're getting the concept. That was what these people were doing. They were busy in the presence of God. And that's what the Bible meant by the minister. They were ministering to God and fasted. Kenneth Hagin actually said, was it him or somebody else, that literally they missed one meal. I won't be that dogmatic about it. But I know that what happened was that they said, no distractions. Are you getting my point? Oh, please, the food is ready. What is happening? Somebody is sharing the word. No. Come on, you cannot interrupt that. Do you get my point? Let's get back to the story. Can you fast, therefore, for your business to succeed? Can that woman fast to remove trouble from our homes? Yes. Can a Christian start the year with fasting? Yes. But listen to this. It is not hunger that's the issue. What is more important is that the fellow is concentrating on the Lord. Are you getting my point? I consider it a total waste of time. I'm closing. When a man wakes up in the morning, a woman wakes up in the morning. Let's say, for example, she's a university lecturer like me, a medical doctor, you know, going to work. And they say, hey, will I get it for breakfast? No, you know we are fasting. Okay, yes. Take your car keys. You drive to work, give 4 lectures, you know, do research, attend committee meetings. During the committee meeting, they say, please serve drinks and snacks. He said, no, thank you. I'm fasting. I think it is not Christianity. I think it's a waste of time. I've been to committee meetings. It is not, we are not ministering to God, we are just walking. Have you ever given a lecture and you're starting to praise the Lord, the topic for this morning? I'm talking about the mechanism of typhoid fever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, the Lord is good. Oh, all diseases are healed. You don't do that. You just stay there and start teaching pathology. Whatever be your subject. It is not. It has nothing spiritual about doing that on an empty stomach. Nothing spiritual. Does not add anything to your life, apart from help you keep your weight down. Which doesn't always work, because if you starve, your body stops losing weight. Yeah, your body says that there must be hunger, starvation outside there. So it reduces the metabolic rate. So that's why they say if you want to reduce weight, you eat less meals, but eat it nicely spaced out, 3 times a day. Now, the point I'm just making is this. Christians go into that is not Christianity. That's what I want to explain to you. It's not. What do you need to do? Let me please, because I'm lost mindful of my time. Let me get out of here on time, all right? So we can all go home. Now, what does that woman need? What does that fellow need who's starting business? Remember, you know, there's one series I taught. I call it cooperating with the seasons of life's adventures. And I explain the principle there. That there's what is called wisdom for your salvation. That every endeavor in life has a word. That is when I say word now. A precept, or not commandments, testimonies that carry it. And before you start, you must get that wisdom for salvation. Are you getting my point? That is to say, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. That is, when God gives you practical steps to take in your own area of endeavor, you will succeed in that area. That's what he meant. Are you getting my point? So, I'm going into an area, I'm going to ministry. For example, the way I do ministry is not, I'm not saying I'm Mr. Know-All, but the way I do ministry is not patterned after anybody that I know. I learn things from people here and there. Are you getting my point? But the overall thing is not patterned after anybody. Periodically, you settle down. At the beginning, I settled down, what are we going to do? You prayed about it, and that's what we call fasting. So, before you start any endeavor in life, you should fast. That fast is not primarily about hunger. It is about taking time out to seek the face of God. And this is what I say that people think I'm joking. People say, people will misunderstand you. No, they are understanding me. You are the one misunderstanding me. No, I've heard people say that, look, when you thought that they will misunderstand, that you are saying they shouldn't go hungry. That was what I said. No, it's not a misunderstanding. I don't know why people think it's a misunderstanding. Because they don't believe I can say it. But I can say it. Because I believe it. What do I say? I say, okay, if you say that, I'm taking this Saturday out, you understand, to seek the face of God. Or I'm going on a retreat for this. I want to make some plans. I need to learn. One thing you must go with is the Bible. Number two, you must go with a small playing device. So because not every time, you think Holy Spirit, just like, you know, after you read Good Morning Holy Spirit, you think every time Holy Spirit sits down and say, that's talking to you. Let me tell something about Holy Spirit. Anything I said to Banky, he won't say it to you. I pray you understand it. If Holy Spirit has told me something, he won't tell you again. He said, what do you mean? He said, go and buy that book. Go and get that tape. It's free. Go and download it. I'm not coming here to reinvent the wheel. You know what the white man calls reinventing the wheel? You do research. They say a Nigerian boy, he's a genius. He made an electric fan. He said, that's what genius is. I don't blame you. Because of free oil money, you call that genius. Electric fan that they've been using for decades. Any boy making it now only has Abbott. That's what it means. You know Abbott. If you buy a bot, you can make your own. Holy Spirit spoke to me that for you to succeed in life, you must go into the Word of God. You wasted Holy Spirit's time. You should have come to my Bible study. I would have taught you for you to succeed in life. Are you getting my point? So you go, hear the Word of God. Get books. People that you respect, who you know have the Word in that area, take it with you. Take back books and settle down. Focus your mind. This is not yoga. You know yoga? You cross your leg. Or you go and join an Ekis. Nothing like that. Wake up in the morning, Father will worship you. He will say, tune your ear. Please, don't tune your ear. If you tune your ear, you will hear evil spirits. All this tuning of the ear does not get you anything. What should you do? Tune a book. Amen? Tune a tape. Amen? Tune a Bible. Get up and start confessing the word of God. They say Nigeria is hard, but I declare, in the name of Jesus Christ, that have the grace to succeed, even in the midst of adversity. That's what the God doesn't say, wait, I want to talk. When he wants to talk, he knows how to say, shh. people that God talked to, he grabs their attention one way or the other. I hope you know that. When Moses was busy, God set the bush on fire. So Moses said, what's going on there? He said, I wanted to talk to you. This is your sheep, sheep, sheep. You're not going to let us hear what? Are you getting my point? When someone was snoring, if you serve under Hophni and Phinehas, you will snore at night. Yeah, you get what I'm saying? The Lord came out and said, Samuel! The noise woke him up. It was so loud, he thought it must be Eli or near something. God knows how to get people's attention. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. As I began to pray, is that the Holy Spirit? No. Is it evil spirit? What? Is it my spirit? God has not said anything. By the time you are confusing who is saying something, don't worry, he hasn't said anything. In that situation, just take a Bible. My experience is this, and many people have had such experiences. You will have ideas and thoughts and plans. By the time you come out of there, all right, as a businessman, you have a plan on that you want to go and execute. Most people come and tell you that as I began to pray, the Holy Spirit began to say, go and check it. 9 times out of 10, those businesses don't do well. Go and check it. I'm sorry to say, go and check. People say that Holy Spirit, I should marry this person. Half of the engagements don't last. You know now. So don't use Holy Spirit to harass anybody. If you like the girl, marry her. All this one, Holy Spirit is saying, like, don't just disturb our souls. As I began to pray, the Holy Spirit began to tell me, say, you will marry that girl. You wanted to marry this girl all this while. You're harassing my soul. No, people think that that's what makes them spiritual. I think it's very, very annoying. Listen, I've been through all of this. So me too, I don't do one before. We don't pray. Pray tired. If you pray, Holy Spirit without time, Holy Spirit. I pray you don't like to talk. I read my Bible. I beg. Listen, Holy Spirit, look, especially a businessman. My time is gone. As a businessman, as an example, the ideas God gives you, they are reasonable to you. If it looks foolish, it's not the Holy Spirit. What did I say? If it looks foolish to you, it's not the Holy Spirit. Any plan that looks foolish to the planner is not of God. He said, but are you trying to tell me that when Israel was going round and round Jericho, it was reasonable? To Joshua, it was. To Joshua, it made perfect sense. If God speaks to you directly, you will nod. I don't know where I get the point. Was that not the time he saw a man and he said, what are you doing here? He said, are you on our side or against us? He said, this is a captain of the host of the Lord. The same people tell you, march around. You go march around though. To him, it was reasonable. I hope you are getting my point. If you are saying, as we began to do it, it looked like foolishness. It looks like foolishness to the rest of the world. To you, doing it is perfect wisdom. People saying that, I don't know what I'm doing. Holy Spirit just said I should do it. Go and check those people. After some time, they don't tell you anything again. When the whole thing don't collapse, they don't want to embarrass Holy Spirit. If you settle down, are you getting my point? You settle down with the word of God, in prayer, studying, hearing. As a businessman, as an example, you come out of the place, the idea that will come to your mind, it will make sense to you. You may leave the place and events around and people around want to make it look unreasonable. Do you get my point? Like I say all the time, as an example, just to say all the time, just to illustrate, you know, because I'm a preacher, all right? When I said I'm doing ministry the way I'm doing, people said to me again and again that you won't have enough money to fund what you want to do. And that do you get what I'm saying? I couldn't get the point. That what do you mean? They said, you need to meet on Sunday so people will be giving offering and bringing tithe. I said, you mean I should gather? That's wickedness. I gather people just because what I'll get out of them, it is not right. That's what Christians fast for. To get divine thoughts. Listen, if you are still thinking that, hey, will it work? Will it not work? Maybe it will work. It will not work. Better be sure that word came in a physical vision. You know, that's like Holy Spirit say, hey, bam, I'm the Holy Spirit. You obey what I want to say. Right now, you walk out on the top of this building and you will not fall down. If anybody says I should walk out of this building, he had better show me ID card. I will say, hey, wait. Lalatorukus, Ilenimbus. Anything that goes up must come down. If a man walks out of this building, he's going down. You say, I should walk out of there. I said, the last person who said it was Satan to Jesus Christ. It's not in your Bible. Cast yourself down from here. That is in the Bible. So if you say you're not Satan, where's your ID? What miracle will thou do that I might know that you are the real Holy Spirit? And why do I have to jump out of the building? What are you trying to do? So, no, that's how Christians wreck their lives. On visions and dreams. Imaginations. In my heart, I just began to feel that Holy Spirit was telling me that I should sum myself backward. What are you? Listen, when the Holy Spirit ministers to a Christian, the ministration is real. I don't know how to explain it. The reverend said the Holy Spirit, he saw in a dream, all right, that he should marry the second wife he married. The first wife had died. He said, look, I don't love this girl. Then the woman came to see him. As she sat down, because she said she had a bad back, she sat on the floor. Then he turned to see her where she was. So the moment he saw it, her, the picture merged with the photograph that he had in that dream. At that point, love for her just rose up from inside him. You tell me your wife, I didn't want to marry. Just the Holy Spirit said I should marry you. Just if Nami be the wife, say I'm not even to marry again. And be waking me here, harassing me every day with Holy Spirit. You don't like me. It's Holy Spirit. So anytime the Holy Spirit doesn't talk to you, marry don't pay me for the day. It is God that is at work within you both to will and to do. It makes you will. You will, as a businessman, the thing will be reasonable to you. People say the economy is going down. You just can't understand why it should go down. Why should it go down? You start remembering that, look, that's how they said it will go down. Dangote became the richest man in the world. That's how they decided to go down. Oh, I read the other day. You know how much Nigerians spent on phone calls last year? 1.2 trillion naira. When I read the analysis, 1.2 trillion naira. I looked for where they said data. It did not include the cost of data. I currently spend money on data than I spend on phone calls. I said, Babao, this is Nigeria. They said this won't work out. Somebody said this won't work. Let's say, hey, power. You will look and say, oh boy, I'm going to line up behind this power thing. Because very soon, and in case you do not know, we will spend more money on power than we spend on phone calls. That's what the Holy Spirit do. It opens your eyes, gives you vision, gives you ideas. You will see things other people can't see. Hagar was crying. Yes, she was beside the well. When you do the fasting we are talking about, are you getting my point? It's not the hunger. That's why I tell Christians, if you go to that place, as you are trying to meditate, and your stomach go, you say, no, I reject you in Jesus' name. Okay, you are trying to meditate. I said, look, don't cast this one. There are things you cast out by prayer. There are things you use a glass of milk and two slices of bread to quench the voice of the enemy. If you've spoiled the fast, you haven't spoiled the fast. You have energized the fast. When your eye begins to turn, you don't know whether you are seeing visions or you are hallucinating. Let's be sure of which one it is. That is what I preach. People tell me now that people will misunderstand you. They don't misunderstand. It is you that's afraid of what I'm saying. I am saying hunger is not the part of the fast. I am saying concentrating on God is part of the fast. It does not allow you for pleasure. If you are fasting, you can't watch man you fighting Arsenal. It's very funny. People are fasting. They don't go chop, but they are there. Mercy. And they are fasting. A man that is fasting does not even watch CNN. What is your problem with who Akada killed most recently? You want to make progress in your life. In the midst of that fast, you don't have that time. You don't have that time. People sit on hunger. Meanwhile, the real fast, they miss it. They miss it. Until you suspend that fast because you can, because maybe you're a family man, you have to attend to other issues, or a family woman, unless you go on a holiday. All right, it may be difficult. So in the evening, okay, you go back normal business. Next day, you're gone again. You take a leave from work. Why? We're about to start a new endeavor. We want to know the word of God for this. I'm about to marry. What is the word of God? Okay, these people have said this. The word of this other preacher have said this. Pastor Banky said this. Or everybody said this. Let me even hear what God has for me. So you take the book this man wrote, the message this one preached, pack the four of them. All right? You go to, on a weekend, you seclude yourself somewhere. First, you hear Bishop Oyedepo's teaching on marriage. Derek Prince, Pastor Banks said he has a collection. You listen to it. You listen to everybody. Check all their references. Say, Lord, I've heard what they all have to say. What should I do? God can speak to you by audible voice if he wants to. From inside you. Dreams. Whatever. Or he says, pick that book again. And you pick the book, then your eye goes somewhere. You see, this has been the problem. This is why your grandfather divorced your grandmother. Why your father almost killed your mother. And you will also do that, except you repent of this thing. You look at it, the word pride comes into your heart. It just comes popping out of that book. Then you start saying, Lord, what is pride? That's the next day. What is pride? Revelation about pride starts coming forth. You start saying, oh boy, you thought you were humble, but that your humility was your pride.